Likes. Good morning. How are you doing? Good. Yesterday, I took my car in for its MOT test. We've had our car for about a year, and it's actually due today, the MOT certificate. I think over the years, like probably many other, I've had lots of cars. Mark's into cars, so he'll probably understand more. My first car, Mark, was a Ford Anglia. Quite old, yeah. When I looked it up, they finished production in 1967. I was only 13 then. Shows you how old the car was when I started driving. Probably what I could afford in those days. And lots of others after that. I used to make regular visits with my brother-in-law to the scrapyard to get bits to put on the car. He helped me. He was very good with anything like that. He's the sort of guy, he took his washing machine apart and put it back together again. I'm like, oh my goodness. So brilliant with his hands, but so fitting radiators and brake pads and all that sort of rubbish that you used to do. And then I progressed to the stage where, you know, I got better cars. But when your car's due for its MOT, you're always panicking, aren't you? How much is it going to cost? Are they going to find anything wrong with it? What's going to happen? Get that great phone call when it says it's all clear, which I got yesterday. It was great. But it sort of made me think about us. And I thought, where are we at in terms of having a spiritual MOT? It's interesting. Mark's read that statement about a healthy church. And I guess my statement at the start is probably my title. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing in your Christian walk? How are you doing in your life? We often don't stop and look and measure what we're doing. But I think we need to. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says this, quite well-known verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Just a bit of background. The book of Hebrews, nobody's quite sure who wrote it. It's a very odd book in that sense. It sits there as part of the Bible, but nobody quite knows who the author is. Most people have discounted Paul, in case that's your guess. The only thing I can say about it, it's written from the perspective of somebody who obviously is Jewish and understands the Old Testament. It's aimed at Jewish readers, I guess. And it's hard to understand unless you've read quite a bit of the Old Testament. I was thinking about this morning. Ray probably might know. I was thinking about a song. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain and touching the rod. Thinking, what on earth would that mean? If you don't actually understand the Old Testament, Hebrews talks about Christ being a high priest, makes the parallel. That's where that comes from. Talks about the veil that used to hide the Holy of Holies being rent in two. So we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain, gone to where God is. That's what it means. But singing that song, if you didn't know that, it'd be a bit weird, really. The great cloud of witnesses, it says. We have a great cloud of witnesses. I so often say this, and so you'll forgive me repeating myself, but here's a breaking revelation. Chapter 12 follows chapter 11. Revelation, that isn't it, breaking. See, actually, 12 is referring to what chapter 11 says. Those who by faith, it says, witnesses. It lists people. I went back when I was preparing this and praying. I went back to 11 and read through it again. You know, we read stuff so often, don't we? And then when you go back and read it, you pick things up. And I thought, I've never really noticed that before. It's a very odd chapter, chapter 11. It really isn't in chronological order when it mentions people by name. When I read it, there are some people that I thought, I don't even know who that is and what they did. Fingers on the buzzer, Barak. Do you know who Barak was and what he did? He's mentioned in Hebrews 11, who by faith I'll confess, I'll be honest, I had to look it up, thinking, who is he? What's he done? Judges chapter 5, he helped Deborah defeat the Canaanites. But he's listed in the, if you like, cloud of witnesses, cloud host. And when I looked at the chapter, you know what I'm like, I'm into words. So I got my notepad and went through it. There are 18 separate people listed in Hebrews 11 who by faith, some, if you like, well known, some not so well known. Cain and Abel, Moses, Abraham, even a prostitute's listed in Hebrews 11. Rahab, who by faith, it says. Wow. Cain and Abel, Rahab. It goes on to give us general details. Others were tortured, stoned, sawn in two, slain with a sword. Wow. What a thing. Then it has this great comment. I love this. Of whom the world was not worthy. Wow. What a thing. Those great cloud of witnesses, the world didn't really recognize them, didn't understand them. Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by this host, this group, these people we've mentioned, let us throw off everything that hinders. We might translate the opening verses, or I would translate them, since we have role models and examples to follow. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. I was trying to think of a suitable slogan for MLT, but I didn't get very far with it. Measuring our time was the best I could come up with. Michael would probably be better than me, Mr. Brown. How have we used our time, our talents, what God has given us? How are we doing in our walk with God? Are we progressing? Are we static? Are we going backwards? Where are we at? The cloud of witnesses, not so much they look at us, but we look at them. We look at them and follow their example. How are you doing? Have you ever stopped and thought about where you're at? I've got three areas. I'm a good preacher, 3 points. They're not all beginning with the same letter, so I've let myself down there a little bit. First of all, we need to identify our weaknesses. Let us throw off every weight that hinders us. I sometimes, when I watch athletics, it's just the way my mind works. I always think it's weird. I don't know if ever you, any of you watch it, but sometimes you see people on the starting blocks and they've got gold chains around their necks. I'm thinking, why would you wear that? I'd take it off because you want to be lighter and faster. That's just me. Football, I don't know if it's still these days, they don't allow earrings. And if you're wearing rings, you used to have to put strapping over it when you played football. So you didn't injure anyone really. What have you got that hinders you? What's tying you down? What's stopping you? How are you doing in your race? Do you know what problem areas there are in your Christian life? Things that cause you to stumble? Are you still falling over them? Have you progressed? Do you know where you're weak? My former mentor once described, if you like, problem areas in his words, girls, gold and glamour. Common areas of temptation, sexual. Whatever you're into, boys or girls. But sexually, we're tempted. Where are you at? Financially. I may have shared the illustration before, but I often think about this and think, I can only share my life's illustrations. They don't change because they're the same. But when I worked in rehab, I used to work long weekend shifts. I'd go on a Friday about 12 o'clock and finish Monday. Worked on my own with 11 guys in a house. And they'd sometimes come in and knock on the door. Want to pay my rent? Fine, take the money, put it away. Send it off to head office on the Monday. And I worked a shift. My boss called me in on the Tuesday. I wasn't working because I'd finished and I was sleeping. I need you to come into the office. I'm like, what's going on? The rent's gone missing. The money you sent to head office has gone missing and there's an inquiry taking place. And we've now got to interview you and take details because, you know, he said, I know you. But we've got to go through this process. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, now I'm in the frame for money gone missing and maybe I've taken it. Basically, was it. And we had this situation where they were discussing whether I needed to be suspended or what. I'm like, I haven't done anything. Sent it off to head office the way I normally. Anyway, cut long story short, about 4 or 5 weeks later, lo and behold, it was found in the drawer of somebody at head office. But, you know, financial temptation, money there. Difficult one. You've got to be careful, haven't you? That's why it's good, really, to have somebody check out what you're doing. Our boss said it's okay, but I worked on my own. There was nobody there to say, can you count it? Can you double check it? I'd done that for years. Apart from one day, I forgot. You're supposed to phone into head office on a Sunday to say you're all right. I forgot. And about 3 hours later, thinking, where's the police I was promised if I didn't phone in? They never arrived because I was working on my own. Positional. Sometimes some of us want to be recognised, want to be appreciated, and often, if we're not careful, we can step over other people on the way up to our great heights of being recognised. A personal bugbear here, really. I'm not that impressed with churches who promote their leadership more than they promote Jesus. It's not about me or us, it's about him. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. It doesn't say if the preacher's lifted up. I've been to lots of meetings and seen advertisements where so-and-so's holding a healing meeting. I'm like, really? I thought Jesus healed. Didn't realise you did it. Careful. Careful on the road to the top. And I was part of the leadership at Nottingham, big church, 1,000 people. We're having 3 meetings on a Sunday, so many people to put in. And things were getting to the stage. I got invited to preach here, then everywhere. I went to Spain, did a couple of weeks in Malaysia teaching. And then I started to think, I'm not sure I'm happy with this. This isn't really what I'm supposed to be doing, flying around the world, going here, there and everywhere. And I found that quite difficult. To the point where, and if you look at YouTube, and some of you I know do, men and women's reputation is enhanced and it's all about them. Let me tell you, it should be all about him. Yeah, I'm okay with YouTube, but make sure you give credit to him. Well, I love that song we sang. You know, all the world will shout your praise. The day's coming, well, he'll get the credit he deserves. But meantime, we should be lifting him up. Temptation in that area. Have you progressed since you were first saved? Have you got better? Have you improved? Have you got techniques in place to overcome your weaknesses? Do you know what area you're weak in? What do you do if you get struggling in that area? If you've mastered some of the areas you're weak in, have you passed that information on to other people? I've got a great illustration. When one of my early jobs, I worked in Hume in a place doing light fittings. And the guy I worked for, his two brothers, the guy I worked for knew one of the Lancashire cricketers personally, and he knew Martin Edwards personally. I should have stayed in that job. 3 tickets for the cricket and a ticket for the cup final. He got me a ticket for the cup final from Martin Edwards. But he told me a great illustration about a cricketer. Some of you won't maybe into sport. A guy who played for Lancashire went on tour with England to India and Pakistan. He was an opening batter. He opened the batting with Jeff Boycott. And on the first test, he walked down the wicket to Boycott. And there was an Indian spinner and he said, how do you recognise his googly? He's a different one. And Boycott said to him, I know, you'll have to sort yourself out. Typical Mr. Boycott. Have you passed on your information to somebody else? Have you passed on your expertise? I'm struggling in this area. I used to struggle in that area, but now I've found that's what we need to do. Do you know what your weaknesses are? Have you progressed? Let us throw off everything that hinders us and every sin that besets us. Everything. If you're one of those who does lists, maybe you need a list of A4. These things are not going so well. These things are. What am I going to do about them? I've identified these three or four areas. What am I going to do? Am I going to get better? Maybe your prayer life's weak. Maybe you're reading the Bible's weak. Maybe you're tempted in some area. Whatever. I don't know. God knows. How are you doing? How are you doing with it? Are you, secondly, are you running with perseverance or patience? Not everything happens overnight, does it? Have you noticed that in the Christian life? I'm looking here at many of us on the road for a lot of years. Some of us have still got prayer requests in that we've been praying for years and not yet been answered. Yes? Keep praying. We've got to be persistent, haven't we? Keep knocking. Give up, will you? I'll have to get up and answer. That's the illustration in the Bible, isn't it, about the widow? Got to keep knocking. He knows. We don't understand. One of the songs talked about his ways not being our ways and the way we think. I don't always understand why some of our prayers are not answered. I've got to be honest. I haven't worked it out. And I've got things still there sort of saying, well, God, I'll have to sort it out. Some of us are still praying for members of our family to be saved, aren't we? It's in God's hands. We, a number of years ago, when I was part of the youth group, Andy will remember this, we had a thing with a church from Birmingham, I think Calvary Temple, sort of a bit like it's a knockout day. We did all sorts of things, football, sport. I was young and fitter in those days. And one of the things we had to do was we had to race a lap of the track. It was 400 metres. And one of the guys in our church, he's mostly now Jeff, used to be quite a good runner. And I was fit, and I said, you have a go at that, you know. And I thought, great. I set off and I thought, it's easy this. Running away, and guys behind me, about 300 metres, about 250 yards before the line, this guy just started coming up on my shoulder, past me just before the line. Because I didn't show any patience, I went off like a train on fire, and the guy caught me. Because he was just patient, he paced it. I didn't understand pacing, I'm not a runner. Andy would be better than me. But have you shown patience? You know what they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. You've got to be patient. I've shared it before, the illustration, when I was at home, sat in Openshaw, reading the Redemption Tidings, and I saw this advert for the Bible College, and I thought, that's for me. I knew immediately God had called me. How do I get here today? How am I up here? Well, I'll tell you how I'm up here. I did 2 years at Bible College. While I was at Bible College, one of the lecturers said, I think there's something about you. I want you to sit an external examination. Like, what's one of them? I left school at 15 with no qualifications. Didn't do any exams. So I went to the Albert Hall in Nottingham to sit this examination, as did five other people who were at Bible College at that time. I was the only one out of any of them who passed. Somewhere in my paperwork at home, I still have a certificate of proficiency in religious knowledge. Woohoo! Awarded by London Bible College that I sat for at Nottingham in 1980, round about then. 2 years at Mattersea. A bit later, I decided that God was calling me to study. I did 3 years at Nottingham University, allied to St. John's College, to earn a degree in theology. 10 years later, I decided it wasn't enough. I did a master's at Sheffield University, Master of Arts in Biblical Language, 1 year. Recently, I've done 2 years study to become a minister of Assemblies of God, 2 years study. How did I get here? Well, there's 8 years. Not a bad start, is it? Doesn't happen overnight. You're running with perseverance, your race. I could have given up. And when I tried to get into university to do my degree, they said, what qualifications have you got? I said, I haven't got any. They said, you'll have to sit an entrance exam. Here's a book. I said, when is it? They said, next week. Yeah, it's true. A book by William Barclay called understanding the creed or something. And I had to go and sit two papers, one on the Old Testament, one on the New Testament, and one on this book, which I had a week to look at. But God was involved. God knew about that. Perseverance. I've told you before, the guy who mentored me always used to say, it stuck with me. Only two reasons people don't achieve anything. One, they don't start, and two, they don't keep going. Keep going. Persevere. How are you doing? Are you stuck in a rut? Can I encourage you this morning? Maybe this will challenge you to keep going. Have another go if you got disappointed. We need to identify weaknesses. We need to run with perseverance, the scripture says. And then it says, run the race marked out for you, or marked out for us. I'm looking around. Andrew might be good on this. Fingers on the buzzer for this one then. Which Briton has won the most gold medals? Olympic gold medals. Which Briton has won them the most? Any offers? Daley Thompson? No. Won two, I think. Decathlete. Thingy Kenny. Thingy Kenny. That's him. Mr. Kenny. Jason Kenny is correct. Seven. Seven gold medals. Who's the most decorated athlete in British history? Mo Farah. 10. You're saying, why is he doing that? You see, those are two different events. Track and field is what Mo's in. Jason Kenny's in cycling. Different races marked out for them. I hope you realise, but I'll reinforce for you, God has got a different plan for each of us. Not always the same. We quote the scripture a lot, don't we? Jeremiah 29. I know the plans, it's a plural. It changes sometimes over the years. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. What's God's plan for you? And do you know it? Are you running in the right lane? If you watch athletics, you get disqualified if you run in the wrong lane. Do you look at other people and think, I'd love to be like that? And God's saying, no, I haven't called you to that. You realise, don't you? If you don't, I'll tell you. There are two different callings. There's a general calling. We're all called to do stuff. Ephesians 2:10, God prepared good works in advance. We've all signed up for that. We've all signed up to love our neighbour as ourselves. We've all signed up to love one another. A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. We've all signed up for that. General stuff. Should be doing good works. Should be witnessing. Specific, different callings. I'm called to teach and to preach. That's my calling. That's what I know over years and over time. One of the scriptures I use, it's in Isaiah. The Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens my ear every morning like one being taught. That's the scripture God gave me. What are you called to? Do you know the race you're running in? Gerald Coates said, I always remember this, I went to a conference with him. If you don't know where you're going, you'll probably end up somewhere else. What are you running in? What's your race? What's God calling you to? Are you working on that gift and talent? Thank God Steve's here. I'm not called to lead Freedom Homes. But I pray for you that God will bless it. Different gift, different. He's running in a different lane, different to me. That's okay. Bless him, support him, don't try be him. It's good news, isn't it, Steve? Here's some biblical advice for you. Romans 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. this year, your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The reason sometimes you don't know what God's will is, you're not giving it all of yourself to him. Can't remember who said it, but the quote was, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Present yourself, then you'll know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Here I am, Lord, send me, Isaiah said. If you want to know what God's calling you to, that's the way to go. So three things I've said in terms of how are you doing, RMLT? Have you identified your weaknesses? Are you working on them? Are you progressing on them? Are you running the race with perseverance? Have you worked out what God has called you to do? Because actually it's quite hard if you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing. And for those of you newer in the faith and sort of thinking, I'm not sure, well, come and talk to us about it, or we can help and support you in finding out what God's telling you. I've said before, when I used to go around, when I was at Bowman College, in terms of training, you were out every Sunday preaching at different churches, I was. And often people would come up to me at the end of the meeting and say, can you help me? So I said, yeah, if I can. What's God's will for my life? I'm like, I can't help answer that one. You've got to get with God and find out. I might be fortunate and God give me a word of knowledge, but generally speaking, it's you and God sorting it out. Because your road may be different to mine. Here's some closing thoughts from the Apostle Paul, who has a lot to say about running our race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He talks about training. Paul says to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Ooh. Sometimes we think, well, that's got to be somebody else training us, hasn't it? What about self-discipline? Maybe you've got to set your alarm a little bit earlier and get up and pray. I don't know. I don't know how you work. Paul says he doesn't run aimlessly. He runs with a purpose, an end in view. Set yourself towards it. When I set myself towards studying, I knew that's what God wanted. I didn't let anything deflect me. Money. Breaking revelation. Sometimes when you go and study, you have to pay fees. Wow, I thought the money would just come down from the ceiling. That's how it works, isn't it? When you're praying, God's in your life. Just look up and it comes down. No, it doesn't work like that. Got to make sacrifices sometimes. Galatians 2, 1-2. This is an interesting scripture. Paul's saying this. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those who seemed esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and not been running my race in vain. Have you ever gone to somebody else and said, this is what I'm thinking, what do you think about what God's saying? That's what Paul was doing. This is what I'm doing, what do you guys think of it? You're people in authority. You've got the Spirit of God on you. What do you think? I remember getting told off when I was at Bible college because I was praying for God to give me some money. It didn't appear and I got frustrated. And I went and spoke to one of the leaders there and he said, excuse me, who do you think you are? So I said, what do you mean? He said, telling God what date he's got to give you the money on. You know, it's got to be by the end of the month, Lord, or else. Who do you think you are? Giving orders to God, I'm like decreasing by the minute, going into a small almost like a blob on the floor by the time he finished with me. I'm like, oh my, because I wasn't mature. But you know, sometimes we've got to be careful about what we do. But here Paul was going, talking to other people, saying, how am I doing? Is it okay? What I'm preaching? What do you think? The same earlier in Galatians, he talks about his gospel when he says, if an angel comes to you preaching another gospel, ignore him. We have lots of people, angel means messenger, by the way. We have lots of messengers these days preaching lots of gospels all over YouTube and all over the place. Just be careful what gospel you're listening to. If it doesn't promote him, I don't want to know. Sorry if that's too strong for you. That's what Paul says. I want to know Christ and him crucified. Any preacher that tells you that Jesus isn't God isn't somebody I want to be listening to. I'll get off my hobby horse. Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. Paul actually had, if you like, signs to say what he was doing was right. People, you're my reward, Paul would say. If you're looking to move somewhere in your race and you're running, you need to be seeing fruit from what you're doing. God's blessing you, you'll see stuff. You'll be able to tangibly, and other people will see it in you. It's a good test. You all know this one, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. What a thing to be able to say. What a great, to have that on a t-shirt, really. How are you doing? How are you doing in your spiritual walk? I'll finish here. I've used this scripture before recently, but I think it's apt. 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Are you watching your spiritual life? Because actually, your life impacts other people. You know that, don't you? I had numerous conversations when I was at Clarendon teaching religious studies in the staff room, and the people there sitting there saying, you don't believe all that stuff, do you? Used to have a guy who used to lecture in law, used to talk to me quite a bit. I said, well, funny enough, I do. Rather than shrink back, you've got to stand up. I'm not really getting into the arguments about how the world was formed or this, that and the other. Hope you realise you can't argue people into the kingdom of God. I used to try when I was younger. I went to the Mormon temple, went to Jehovah's Witness meetings, you name it, I did it. Thinking that was the way to do it. But actually, people have got to be drawn by His Spirit. But they will see something in you that impacts them if you're living right. My friend Mr. Watson will be here in next week, used to say, you might be the only Bible somebody ever reads. We are living epistles known and read of all men. People are watching us, aren't they? Watch what we say. Watch what we do. Call yourself a Christian. Thank you for listening.